Woo. Sitting there looking at all these smiling faces. A good bunch here this morning. It's good to see everybody here. What a glorious day it is to be here and come together around the Word this morning. This morning we're going to read in Isaiah 43. I was sitting there searching through scriptures last night looking to see what the Lord would give me to bring this morning just to read. And I told my wife and I went to bed. I said, well, it's got to be His will. Whatever He wants, He'll show it to me. So this morning He said, get over here in Isaiah. Let's go there. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
What a wonderful day it is to be here.
Amen.
And find out who we are. Because every time I open the book today, I look for the bride.
Right.
Look for it and find it. Every time I read it, I say, Lord, show me. Where is she? Show me my promises. Before we read, let's go to the author and let's thank Him for His word. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this gathering and this place to come to in this day and time, Lord. The world is really gone astray out there and she's really wobbling bad. But Father, You just stand the bride up and strengthen her, Lord God. Feed our hungry souls, Lord, and extend our faith, Lord, and send a word to us by revelation. And bless the brother that's here this morning, Father. Let him speak his heart when he comes out here today. And forgive him of his sins, Lord, and let him pour us out a fine meal that he will bring, Lord, and be You, Lord. And Father, we ask and thank You for this ministry here today. And Lord, I ask every day that I come here and the other days that bless those people that couldn't make it through the door. Whatever the hindrance is, Lord, You know what it is. And tribulation worketh patience. So, Father, we know You're in all things that we do in our lives. Just continue pouring Your word out to us. Lift those people up and bring them back where they belong, Lord. Fill these seats like they used to be at one time, Father, because I miss them. I can't speak for anybody here but You, Lord, and we miss them. We ask these things in Your name, and if we go to the opening of Your word, Father, You just reveal Your word to us and have Your way with us. We ask it in Your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah 43, we're going to read 1 through 21. Here it is. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Amen. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for the ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee.
Since thou wast righteous in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life.
Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thee seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. Amen. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him.
Amen. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears.
Let all nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witness, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth.
You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and that understand that I am He. Before me there is none of my Lord, neither shall there be after me.
I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Yea, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?
Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer,
I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King.
Thus saith the Lord, which maketh the way in the sea, and the path in the mighty waters.
Which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army, and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow.
Remembering not former things, neither consider
the old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye know it? I will even make it way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
The beast of the field shall honor me.
This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. I appreciate that, Brother Don, just being led. What a chapter that we can go back to. It says he's called us by name. He gives us all these promises. Fear not. And then it just shows how great our God is. He is in control. Amen. Amen. Let's, brothers, if you could pull up that song in the back, let's sing this before our brother comes out this morning. Amen. The song reminds me of that scripture, I believe, is in Isaiah. It says, arise and shine, for thy light has come. Let the worshipers arise. Is that one there? We can start off with a chorus there. Let the worshiper arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to you, the King. Sing it to him again. Sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshiper arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Surrendering my all, I surrender to my King. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the bride of every nation is awakening to sing. From your hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the praises ring. This is our song. This is to our King. Let the worshiper arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Sing that third verse.
Father, I see the Lamb arising with the book of His redeemed. We have opened up the seals. Now the bride will see this brand new revelation, the song of eternity. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the King. Let the worshiper arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let's sing that fourth verse. Father, I see the bride groaning in the word of your King. She is rising now in power. She's anointed to see. For the seals of heaven be open. It's the last great mystery. This is our song. Song of the redeemed. Let the worshiper arise. Oh, hallelujah. Just worship Him. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Let them render in my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshiper arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Surrender to the King. Let's sing the last verse. Father, I see the bride rejoicing in the song of victory. Every chain of death is broken and we've been set free. Satan, he hath been defeated. Let our worship be praise to our Lord. Praise to our King. Let the worshiper arise. Oh, claim your victory this morning. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Oh, worship Him, bride. Let the worshiper arise. Sons and the daughters sing, rendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshiper arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Surrendering my all, I surrender to the King.
I trust that's our desire this morning. Thank you, musicians. You may take your place. I trust that's our desire this morning is to worship the King of Kings, the great I Am. If there was ever someone that should be worshipped, ever someone who was so great that needed to be worshipped, it was Him, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen. He's worthy. He's a great King. You know, it says that, I think it's in the book of Micah or Malachi, because it's a minor prophet that starts with M, so it's one of those two. And he says, I am the great King. And you know, when God says, I am the great King, like if I were to stand up here this morning and say, I am a great preacher. Now, some of you would be like, well, yeah, you know, I've heard him before. He's not too bad. And some of you would be like, that brother is conceited. He's arrogant and he probably needs to be taken down a couple pegs. But when God says, I am the great King, it is just a statement of truth. He is not being arrogant. He is not being prideful. He is merely stating exactly what He is. Amen. I'm just happy to be here with you. Let's go ahead and we'll turn and we'll read our first scripture, Luke chapter 16, verse 16. And then we'll also look at Philippians chapter 3. And then maybe I'll make a introduction for those who don't know me, maybe. So Luke chapter 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it. If we look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 here, actually starting with verse 13, we will start. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And can we just bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, you are the great King. You're worthy and you're wonderful. You're worthy of all of our praise, the thoughts of our heart, our meditations, all that we are, Lord, truly belongs to you. And we count you worthy to receive it, Lord. Father, we've asked your presence in this building, and Lord, we know you've promised it by your word, where two or three are gathered in the name. Well, that you'd be there. So Father, I pray that you'd open our eyes and our hearts to see you, to know you, to feel you, to know that you're here, Father. Not just to know a promise intellectually, Lord, but may that promise be a reality to us this morning. That we would know you were here. Father, just anoint me to speak, Lord Jesus, that your words go forth and accomplish the thing that you send it to do. Father, I pray that it would encourage, challenge, strengthen the believers, Lord Jesus. But ultimately, Lord, if you could just commune with the heart of every believer here, Lord, Lord, we'll just thank you for that, Lord. That would be so much, Lord. That would be better than the best sermon I've ever preached in my life, Lord. If you would just be here and you would take control and you would have your way, Father. For Lord, we surrender our all as we just sang to you. Lord, we love you. You're so good and worthy. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we're just happy to be here. We seem to have about an 8-year cycle. We were here about 8 years ago and then about 8 years before that. So maybe you met us a little while ago and we've been friends with different ones here for quite some time and have enjoyed it and met different ones. And we had a nice time of fellowship yesterday. And went up to the beautiful falls up there and had a great time. But I'm Brother Trevor. My last name is Emond. Some people think, well, Trevor is my last name, but Trevor's my first name. I usually go by just Brother Trevor because trying to say Emond usually ends up coming out Edmond. And, you know, and then some brothers just say it like that on purpose. And then, you know, and because that's the kind of church this is, I've been picking up on, you know, it's a difficult place here. You know, God bless you people. You know, you make it hard on yourselves, but, you know. just happy to be here and to be with you all. Brought my family, my wife, Anna Mae, Zion, Azariah, and Glorion are here. We'll have a song this evening, with the afternoon service for you all. I was just thankful the Lord gave me, I love to worship, and the Lord gave me a family that can worship with us. And I was telling the brother, you know, Brother Wade yesterday, just how as the Lord is progressed and we've progressed as a family and brought up, and you know, we had our time where we had to kind of shut the church down for COVID, but at the same weekend Brother Jack Duff from Florida had come up to the service, and Brother Nathan, the pastor, wasn't sure if he had it, so he thought, man, I better stay away. And so Brother Trevor, you're gonna have to just run things this weekend. So we shut the service, you know, everything down. We brought a song leader, my family, and Brother Jack and his family, and you know, we, so what that gave us was that was me, and I could introduce the brother, and we had a piano player in Zion, and he could play piano for the song service, and then my son Azariah ran the stream, and, you know, we just, and the song leader was like, boy, Brother Trevor, you know, you could, you just, you're just a church in a box, your family, you know, and my wife's a Sunday school teacher, and my daughter wants to become a Sunday school teacher, and so I just praise the Lord, and so, and we got a drummer too, I forgot, Azariah plays the drums, so we had a drummer there too, and we just, you know, we could just have a service, so I love to worship the Lord, and I'm thankful the Lord gave me the pieces around me to just worship the Lord anytime we want, so. So, as a Brother Riley from Kentucky used to say, you know, if there's no believers around you, then raise you some. So, so it's kind of hard for me to think, say things like that, raise you some. That's not exactly, you know, the kind of English I usually talk. So I hope that my northern ways aren't too, you know, don't get lost in translation. But, you know, I feel like I'm quite a southerner compared to where I used to be. I moved down to Indiana, southern Indiana. So we're right across there from Kentucky. And, you know, I started working at the airport in Lexington, Kentucky when I first moved down. I was born in Minnesota and lived out in Minnesota and South Dakota. So I sounded a little different. We said Minnesota. That's where I was from, Minnesota. And so I've lost, you know, much of my accent that I used to have up there. And so now you can understand me much better. So, you know, I go back home and people are like, he has a southern accent. You probably think, like, this guy's a Yankee. You know, so I guess I'm not welcome anywhere, but, you know. But that's who we are, and, you know, we were at the Branham Tabernacle for about 20 years. Now we're fellowshipping with Brother Nathan Bryant at Church of the Open Door in New Albany, and just enjoying the fellowship of the saints, enjoying the preaching of the Word, and praising the Lord. So just happy to be gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Happy to be following a prophet that God sent us in this last day, and that's how I was raised. You know, I was raised on the tapes, and so that's what I know. So I didn't go to seminary. I didn't learn theology anywhere, but just this message. So, well, praise the Lord. So hopefully that can just calm me down just a little bit, because maybe some of you are thinking, this brother's from where? He's from Jeffersonville, and he's a Yankee from Jeffersonville, and he used to go to the Tabernacle, and I don't know what he's going to preach to us now. Well, just calm down. It'll be okay. Because if you got the Holy Ghost, you got the filter. And you don't have to sit there and go, oh my goodness, what's he going to preach? What's he going to preach? You know, it's like, just rest in Christ. It'll be good. So praise the Lord. We're just happy. Happy to be here. Very happy to be here. So, press the mark is my title. And on my notes here, you know, I know you've heard 100 sermons on pressing. And I'm different than many preachers that you've probably ever heard. So on my notes, it's press the mark, and mark is underlined. And so we really want to talk about the mark, because if you're going to press to the mark, well, it might be helpful to know what that mark is. You know, it's like, oh brother, I've been pressing to pressing hard as a Christian. Like, yay for you. That's great. What's the point? What are you doing? Where is it getting you to? And that's what we want to talk about, is what is that mark, and what are we moving towards? And Brother Branham in the message, Desperation, says every man presses into it, not simply walks into it easily, but it has to be pressed into. Amen. Now, when you seek me with all your heart, then I'll be found. I can tell you, you know, as I was seeking the Holy Ghost, and, you know, as a young man, Easter Sunday, 1997, I was in a service. All my friends, all the brothers were at the altar after service, and I was standing in the back going, Lord, you know, should I be at the altar? Have I, you know, I feel like I've, you know, I've been going to prayer meeting. I've been, you know, living fairly good. And the Lord said, well, what about that girlfriend you've got? And it's like, yeah, I guess that she's not exactly a believer, is she? And so standing right there, I said, Lord, okay, I'll give that one to you too. And that's when the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because then it was with all my heart. Amen. That's when I gave him all. Amen. That's when I fully subjected myself to the Word of God. And I said, fine, Lord, you know, it's okay. Whatever you want for me, that's fine. And, you know, when we get to a place where we can surrender all, man, that's when the Lord really began. That's what we press into, is pressing fully into Christ, to surrender all, to recognize that everything I am is, you know, essentially worthless if it's not without him. Amen. or if it's without Him. I must have Him. I've got to press into Him, and I've got to seek Him with all my heart. But let's look here for a moment at what Paul is speaking to us here in Philippians chapter 3, you know, verse 13. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended the first church age messenger. You know, the one who wrote 80% of the New Testament, he hasn't apprehended yet. Man, if he hasn't apprehended, boy, we in trouble, brothers and sisters, what are we going to do? Because, you know, how many of you has God given an affliction that he won't deliver you from because you have too much revelation? Because that was Paul's state, like, you know, God said, no, you're going to have this. He said, because of the abundance of the revelation. So he needed something to keep him humble. But this man with so much revelation that he has an affliction to keep him humble has not yet apprehended. So I think there's a case that maybe, just maybe, we should still be pressing. But what should we be pressing towards? Well, towards whatever Paul was pressing towards that he had not yet apprehended. And now don't get discouraged. You think, boy, Paul hasn't got it with all of his, you know, well, who am I? What am I going to do? Hey, you're never going to attain. And we'll talk about that, but can you attain all of God? You say, Brother Trevor, then we're going to be pressing the whole time? Yeah. Brother Trevor, won't that get exhausting? No. No, because the more you press into Christ and the more you attain of Christ, the more you recognize there's so much more to have, and you could get discouraged, but then you remember, like, wait, there's no discouragement. It's not like the pressing that I've done has all been in vain. All it's done was make me have a greater vision of Christ, which made me realize there was more to press into. But I'm not going to get discouraged about that. I'm happy when I recognize, I learn that there's more of Christ than I ever thought. Why? Because He's wonderful. Because He's great. Because everything that is good or lovely or perfect and wonderful in this world is Him. And when I recognize there's more of that to go around, brother, that makes me pretty happy that I get to continue to press into that. Oh, it's wonderful. You know, they've done these studies, you can read about them, these reports, you know, and, you know, 60 years ago, the cartoons, you know, maybe you remember Steamboat Willie or Mickey or whatever it was, you know, you got a mouse on a piano. You know how long that scene stays with a mouse on a piano? Well, in today's time, man, it's a long time. That scene stays there with a mouse playing the piano for like 30 seconds. You watch any cartoon today, there is no scene for 30 seconds. There's probably no scene for 3 seconds. It's gotta change, cause it's gotta keep the interest of the people. But we serve a God who's so amazing, He's so unchanging, but the reality of it is the more you stay there, the more you just look at His unchanging presence, the more you find out how great He is. He doesn't get boring. You say, Brother Trevor, well, I appreciate this is church and everything. I know that that's what you preach. And that's what we should, amen. And that's, yeah, but Brother Trevor, like, if I'm honest, I'm kind of bored sometimes. Amen. Anybody else? Or just Brother Trevor? Like, yeah, it happens, doesn't it? It happens, and when that happens, it's not that, you know, and then when that happens, then you're like, why should I press? You know, it's kind of boring, and I get kind of, it's work to keep pressing. Well, it's because the mark is wrong. It's because you were pressing to the wrong mark. And that's a problem. And you think, but yeah, but I get it now. No, Paul didn't apprehend. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I apprehended and I pretty much got this Christian thing down, you're missing something. You set a mark here, but the mark is way up there. And you feel like I've reached it and I don't need to keep pressing, and it's getting kind of boring and it's getting kind of old and it's just kind of, man, I've been doing the thing for 5, 10, 15 years and I'm there and it's just kind of, you know, every Sunday, every Wednesday, it's the wrong mark.
Amen. That's right.
And I hope that the Spirit can challenge you today to find the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And it's not just that it's Christ Jesus, but it's that you have a high calling in Christ Jesus. It's that He's so great and He's calling you to come unto Him. He's then lifted up that you would be drawn to Him. And as you're drawn to Him, you have a calling and you have a purpose and there's something for you to do. And sometimes when a preacher tells you that, it's just like, yay, I get more work to do. But again, you're missing something. Because Jesus is calling you, and when He calls you to come unto Him, and when He calls you to a purpose and to serve Him, what He's calling, you know, look, without a purpose, what do you have? What are you living for? Well, I'm living for caramel apples up there in Helen. Well, okay, you know, if that's your mark and that's your purpose, and then, but you talk about getting old after a while. You got to drive an hour to get a caramel apple at, you know, every Sunday. I don't know what it is for you. But when you begin to recognize that when God begins to give you the purpose and begins to give you something to do, there's absolute joy in serving Him. There's absolute joy because there's purpose, because there's meaning. Because if all you're doing is coming and sitting in a church and going, yeah, Brother Trevor, I'm kind of getting tired of the press the mark sermons. Well, you know, I've pressed and I've done the thing and here I am. What do you want me to do? I want you to see that the mark is so much higher because you set the mark here, you hit it, and suddenly you're not happy anymore. Suddenly there's no joy anymore. And if there's no joy in your life, how is God going to use you? Because I remind you in Nehemiah, it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're going to have strength to fight the battle, you're going to have to tap into your strength, which is the joy of the Lord. You say, Brother Trevor, I can't just turn the joy switch on. No, you can't. But you can dive into Him. You can find the source of the joy. Because it's real. You say, Brother Trevor, no, caramel apples is joy, Brother Trevor. Is it? What? So then, if caramel apples are joy, and I'm just using that because it's something local that we just, you know, we could talk about ice cream. Usually that's what I say. Brother Luis is like, okay, ice cream is joy, so. So if ice cream is joy, what happens when you don't have ice cream? Do you have no joy? You say, Brother Trevor, see, the problem is Jesus is not tangible enough to bring me joy. Ice cream is tangible enough to bring me joy. You know what? You know what the world tries to, you know, apart from just the fact that you have no joy if you have no ice cream in your life, and that's kind of a sad, miserable existence, you know. Come on, somebody. You know, and so the problem is that we start looking at the things that the world calls joy, you know, relationships, you know, good or bad, beauty. You know, whatever it might be that you would find that the world calls joy, I want you to think, like, let's talk about, okay, romantic movies, you know, these romantic comedies and different things. You know, it's just like, oh, I wish I could have a relationship like that. That would bring me joy. It's scripted. This didn't really happen. Somebody, like, wrote this and then they acted it out. So is it real or not? Is it tangible or not? It's not. Okay, if I was so beautiful, boy, then I'd really have joy. And you look at all the magazine covers, and let me ask you, are the girls on the front of the magazine cover, are they real or not? You say, Brother Trevor, of course, they took a picture, it's a real person, that's a real... Yeah, but then they took it through Photoshop, and layer upon layer of filter, and all the makeup, and the hair, and the fans blowing the hair back, and all of this stuff, like... And they say, this is how you should look, and if you can look like this, this will be joy. What are they doing? Telling you something that's not real is joy. Hey, you know, sisters, I'm sorry, but man, you just don't have that long. You know, your neck will never be long enough. Because they take those, you know, they take the women's heads on those pictures and they stretch that neck to make it look good. Because guess what it says in, what is it, Isaiah? Something about outstretched necks. Well, here we go. So that, look, what they're portraying isn't real. It's not real. You say, I need something real. Jesus isn't real enough. Jesus isn't tangible enough to bring me joy. But everything else out there that the world would try to tell you is joy is not real. So you can't say, like, these things are real. No, they're not real. Jesus isn't real enough, but these things are real enough. No, everything the world tries to give you to give you joy is not real. It's not good enough without alteration on its own. But Jesus Christ is good enough without alteration on his own, always will be, always was, and is right now. And that's not just true. That's not just good theology, but it is reality. You see, the ice cream that you say, that's real. I can feel it. I can taste it. But again, will you take it away? What you have to say then is that there is no joy apart from that, apart from the thing I have. So obviously joy is something that's a little bit more intangible than just the reality, so-called, of ice cream. There's got to be something on the inside that is joy. There's a knowledge, there's a truth, and there's a purpose that can bring you into the joy of the Lord. And it's worth having. The problem is that we bring the mark down, and then we hit that mark and go, I'm good, man. Sunday morning, bro, here we are. What's going to happen today? Probably the same thing that happened last Sunday. Brother Joe going to sing again? Okay, that's nice. Man, can we sing a new song? I am just... Man, you all should have gone to the tabernacle for 20 years. Let's sing number one in the hymnal, Higher Ground, opening song, 20 years straight. Praise God. But hey, I am pressing on to higher ground. So the problem is that we bring the mark down so low that we hit that mark. And when we hit that mark, there's no purpose anymore. There's nothing for us to do. There's nothing in it for us. We just, you know, we have to just continue to remind ourselves, I'm saved by the grace of God, and I don't even remember what that is now anymore, but, you know, I mean, it's been so long since I've been a sinner, and I've attained some, you know, 20 years ago, I attained, you know, the Holy Ghost. And now I've just been, you know, coming to church, and, I mean, what else do I do? We'll get your mark a little higher. I don't understand why these brothers keep telling us to press. I did the pressing. I got to the altar. I got the Holy Ghost. Hey, I got the ticket in my hand. I'm going there. Like, what do you want from us, preachers? I want you to set the mark higher. Because if you set the mark higher and you recognize there's so much more out there for you, man, suddenly joy can start coming back and recognizing there is more for me. And if there's more for me, then he wants me to do more. And then I begin to recognize, hang on a second. Wait a second. Did I just say he wants me? He wants me to do something. Brother Zach, he wants you to do something for him. He has purpose for you. Can we even say that, you know, I want you to all understand this the right way, but can we even say that God needs you? He has no hands but our hands. He has no lips but our lips. My goodness, if God's going to walk around on two shoes, are those Johnston Murphys? He's going to walk around in Zach's Johnston Murphys. God needs him. God needs you. He has a purpose and a high calling for you. A high calling in Christ Jesus. He doesn't want you to stop. He doesn't want you to have attained. He wants you to recognize that there's something higher out there for you that can inspire you, can draw you up. And then as you grow into it, it begins to open up and you begin to recognize how wonderful this thing truly is. And that it's not sitting on a pew for 20 years waiting on Jesus to come, but there's an action to it. There's a purpose to it. There's an excitement to it because, man, I don't know how it's going to happen. And sometimes it's hard, yeah. But, man, sometimes God shows up in that. And it's awesome. Awe-inspiring. Wonderful. And you begin to recognize it's not just me. It's not just small little me. Doesn't mean anything, that can't make an impact on this world. I'm just me, and I'm just waiting for Jesus to come, and I can't wait, and okay, great. But then you begin to recognize, no, I'm part of something much bigger than this. And that God desires me. That God uniquely gifted me and called me and all. Glory to God. You know, the Ephesian age, Brother Branham tells us that they had high aspirations, that they aimed high. But then they begin to be relaxed and they left their first love. But originally it was good because they aimed high. Now, you see, what did they aim at? There was a mark that they were aiming at. You know, and you know, Sister Olivia, she could tell us all about it, right? She could tell us about hitting the mark. Right? Yep. Sitting on a back row looking really embarrassed right about now. Glory to God. Brother Trevor doesn't usually pick on the people in the back row. He usually picks on Zach in the front row. And then the pastor's over here. And then, yeah, maybe Brother Luis will get some, but I ain't picking on this too, because, boy, that's going to hurt later. So, sorry, Olivia. So Olivia can tell you after service about hitting a mark. And the farther back you get, you know, the smaller that mark gets. That's kind of interesting. You know, when you get farther away, that mark is small. But when you get closer and closer and closer, that mark gets bigger and bigger. And it starts to look a whole lot better, doesn't it? Doesn't it? And so the closer and closer you get to Christ, you start recognizing that mark. That's getting a whole lot better. I might actually hit that thing. Because back here, that mark's awful tiny. But guess what happens, you see? Because we want to know, like, wait, Brother Trevor, I get, you know, sure, theologically, we understand what you're saying, like, purpose brings joy and all that. That's nice. I appreciate that. You know, it's like, you're like a school teacher right now or something. I don't know, but I don't really feel it. So let's just break it down for just a moment. So when Sister Olivia, you know, she doesn't just, I'm going to go win an archery tournament because she saw a bow and arrow. No, she's got to do something, doesn't she? What you got to do? Got to practice. Got to practice. Got to practice. And the reason you're practicing is because at some point in time you want to become something, right? You want to. She's like, stop talking to me, like, goodness sakes. But some point in time, you want to become something. What is it you would like to become through the use of your practicing? I'm going to guess that you want to be a good archer. Yeah. And so I'm practicing because, you know, to be a good archer, well, there's a definition of what that is. You know, if the mark is over there and you go whap, that brother is a bad archer and you should be nowhere near. He is so bad. You see, there's a definition of what a good archer is. The good archer is the one that gets back here, pulls it back, real steady, flexes the shoulder a little bit, the arrow goes, and it hits the mark. And the smaller the mark is, and the more centrally they hit the mark, and the farther back they get and can't hit it, guess what that means? They're good at it. Olivia, you like being good at it? Is that boring? Bet you you're real happy when you hit the mark and you win a tournament, right? I bet you there's some, like, joy in your heart. Because you recognize that though it was hard, that though some, the competition sometimes was stiff, that I had to spend time in practice, I had to put effort into it, but yet I recognize that there was a trophy there, there was a mark, and the trophy, man, it doesn't, like, they're plastic. They cost $15 at, you know, Bob's Awards store. Like, who cares? But what does the trophy symbolize? Okay, maybe you get the one that's got marble on the bottom, so it's heavy, but that's the only reason. It's still plastic. And maybe that one costs $60. Good for you. Looks the same as the $15 one when it sits on the shelf. Now you're just putting more stress on the studs. But what does the trophy mean? The trophy is a symbol that you conquered, that you achieved something. A mark that you practiced and that there was something that you attained. And so when you get the trophy at the regionals, you know, then you go on to compete in state. And then you begin to compete in nationals. And then you get to compete at world. And guess what? Every time you're like, man, I thought things were great when I run regionals. But then when I won state, boy, that was a party. Man, that was amazing. And then you go on and you win in the nation. What did it take? It took more effort. It took more practice. It took a pressing into that more and more and more. But at each stage that they got to, the joy was increased. Until, you know, some point in time, 2 or 3 years later, the trophy's sitting there and you're going, I can't even remember what that felt like. But guess what? It isn't like that with Jesus Christ. But we'll spend time pressing to get to that joy, to get to that purpose, to get to that definition, to say, I'm good at this. But then Jesus Christ, and who gives joy, and it's not just a trophy on the shelf, but it's an eternal joy that He places down on your heart. It's a hope and a peace and an assurance and just an absolute bliss in Jesus Christ. And we're like, well, but, you know, He gave me the Holy Ghost, and I'm just coming to church now. And then we wonder, like, these Presses Mark sermons are just old. That's why I'm not telling you to press. If what I can do is tell you what the mark is, if what I can do is inspire you that the mark is so much higher than you, then maybe you're letting it be right now, then you'll look and go, wow, that's amazing and I want that. And it'll give you purpose. It'll give you joy. When it gives you joy, it'll give you strength to achieve the purpose that God wants to use you for, because God wants Zach in his Johnston Murphys. I'm not real sure they're Johnston Murphys, but they kind of look like it. But He wants Zach to walk around and manifest and represent Jesus Christ to this dying generation. And God wants you to do it. And He doesn't want, oh, we're going to get there, man. Maybe I'll get to my notes. I don't know. Maybe we try to keep this logically oriented. We can. Then you all know what I'm saying here. So when's the last time you pressed? When's the last time you can say, Brother Trevor, I've been pressing lately? Oh, don't preach tonight's sermon, Brother Trevor. Just keep that back. Keep that back. What time is it? What time we got here? 11, okay. Because we got to have lunch. I was instructed. Yes. What do you got? Come on. Ooh. Okay, I'll fix it. Okay. I don't want to scratch it. So I'll just do this like that. And that wire will just a little bit there. You're welcome. Are we happy in the Lord? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Are we happy in the technology? Okay. So the problem, you know, that we have sometimes is because to the people here who are saying, like, I like what this brother's preaching and that's all great. And then there's some people who are like, yeah, still, he hadn't got me yet. He hadn't convinced me yet. Because what he's telling me is that I'll never achieve. Paul never achieved. Man, and that just sounds, you know, what he's telling me is that I never get to take my foot off the gas. That I never get to stop and enjoy and smell the flowers. I think that's being strict, but I'm not saying that there's not periods of time where we rest and we rejuvenate. We rest in Christ anyway, you know. Maybe somebody's thinking, you know, this is just a carrot on the stick, Brother Trevor. That's the problem with you preachers. You just always hang the carrot out, trying to get us all motivated. Because if we get exposed where we're not good enough, then we'll keep coming back to church and paying our tithes. So, you know, so if you ever get us to the place where we truly attain this whole Christian thing, we don't need you anymore, and then you're out of a job. And praise God, that's what I want to do, is preach myself out of a job. Man, let's go, church. But is it a carrot on a stick? Wait, so what you're telling me, if you think it's a carrot on the stick, what you're telling me, like, is your God so small that you think, like, that someone can just dangle just a little bit more out there and just a little bit more out there and just a little bit more out there? Or is your God so amazing that it's obvious to you that He can never fully be attained? Because your God is so big and your God is so great. Your God is so wonderful. He's righteous. He's holy. He's just. Why do you want to go to the millennium? You ever think about that? What do you want in a millennium? I mean, other than cheesecake and unsweet Arnold Palmer, I know that's probably just absolute blasphemy down here, but you know, cheesecake and unsweet Arnold Palmer sounds real good in the millennium to me. You know. But is that what we want in the millennium? Oh yeah, and no COVID. No masks. You know, no sickness, no death. That's all sounding real good. So let me ask you this. If I could create a place right now, we could all get on a bus and go to it. And I could create a place that, and it's wonderful. There's no tears. There's no sickness, dying, COVID, masks and mask Karens, you know, people yelling at you and all that, you know, lovely people going to be there. And you got all the rest you want, all the cheesecake you want. And what's your favorite food, Brother Bob? Cheesecake, so praise God, we're gonna have fellowship. And nice, I don't know, it's we're a little bit farther down south. Maybe we need 80 degree days or something, 75, 80 degrees, somewhere in there, pretty good for you guys. We'll just keep it that. How many wanna go? We got a bus, we're going. How many wanna go? Okay, great. We'll set it up. We'll just all go and we'll leave this old pest house. And just one small caveat. I just feel like I probably better tell you, Jesus won't be there, but everything else will be great. But Jesus won't be there. How many want to go? Just one person. At least she's honest. Do we have to up the ante? I mean, what is it? What's missing? Everything that you want that's great can be there. Just know Jesus, like, but you still don't want to go. What are you talking about? Oh, so then we recognize that everything truly, like, the reason you want to go, if you think about it for a moment, the reason you want to go to the millennium is because everything that is good that will be there, everything that's lovely, everything that's fun, that's enjoyable, that's righteous and just and healthy, why is it there? Because the character of God put it there. It's the character of Christ that's expressed in an age, in a land, in a time that we will be. Everything that Christ is exactly what you want. Yeah, I think he's worth pressing into. Because that's what I want. You say, Brother Trevor, cheesecake is in Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because he created it. Everything that's good, everything that's lovely, virtuous, righteous, and just is found in Jesus Christ. Is he not worth pressing into? Yeah, I think he is. I think, because I think if you're truly honest with yourself, and like we just went through this little exercise, you're saying that you won't go to a millennium without him. Well, then why would you seek after anything but him here?
Amen.
If that's what you're seeking after and what you want to go into there, why wouldn't you be doing it now? Because he died on the cross, he bridged the gap, and you can get back into fellowship with him. Every day for the believer ought to have just a little piece of the millennium now. Now don't misunderstand me and think that I think we're in the millennium now, because goodness, no, I'm not there, all right? But I'm saying you should have such a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's so much more of him to get than the average church-going believer ever attains to. And God is telling us, hey, it's almost time to go. Why do you sit here half asleep when there's so much that you could have? And well, we say, well, you know, we love that quote. We're living a million miles below our privileges. Amen. We all know it. We all kind of hang our heads. It's like, you know, but yet we have hope, because it's like, well, we have more privileges than we have right now. I just wish we could get into it, you know. And Zach, when you wanted the privilege of driving the car, what was that one word that your father would be like, yeah, I just don't know if you have enough yet. Responsibility. Did you have to hear that in the back from them whispering, or did you? Anyway. We're living a million miles below our privileges. Young people, you wanted a dog at your house, you wanted a cat, you wanted a pet, a bird, a fish, a lizard, a I don't know what. These days, it's kind of crazy. Maybe a little pig. And your parents said, I don't know, because I don't want to feed it. Oh, I'll feed it. I'll take care of it. Yeah, I'm just not sure that you're ready for the responsibility that that privilege entails. So if we're living a million miles below our privileges, Zach, what are we living also a million miles below? Responsibility, yes, responsibility. We're living a million miles below our responsibility sometimes. Why? Because we stop pressing. The reason we stop pressing is not because we're bad people. It's not because we don't love Jesus, but we allowed the mark to come down to a low point where we said, well, I attained it and I'm good. But Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. Well, glory to God. So we begin to lift the mark up. We begin to lift the mark up, and that produces action in us. That produces a calling in us. That produces a, oh, there is more. That's great. There's something for me to do. You know how Zach feels when I tell him, you know what? God wants to use you. God needs you. God needs you in those Johnston Murphy's, man, to go. You know how he feels? If he's right with the Lord, and you know, if he doesn't have to be like, oh, I gotta go do some repenting. You know, which, do you know how it feels? When he's told God needs you. God wants to use you in your gifting and your calling to take this world for him. To show, and maybe you'll think you aren't even being effective, but he still wants to use you. Do you know how Zach feels? Zach stands a little straighter. His shoulders round back just a little bit. He's like, yes, Lord, wants to use me. I'm desired. I'm needed. I'm called. And it's personal. Yeah, that feels good. I like that. I'm needed for something. I'm not worthless. And it's not just theology. It's not just, no, yeah, you're not worthless. Jesus died for you. And you go, yay, Jesus died for me. And yeah, but he also poured himself out as the Holy Spirit. And to live inside of you, to work inside of you when he needs you, and you go, oh, hey, this just got cool, man. And so you stand up a little straighter. You begin to have joy because you start hitting the mark. Maybe it was just 20 yards for a while, but then you got to 30, then you got to 40, then you got to 50, then you started winning awards, and man, because I'm hitting the mark every time. And I'm taking the responsibility and I'm pressing in. I'm learning how to hit that mark, and I'm studying my Bible, and I'm down on my knees in prayer, and I'm hitting that mark because I've set that mark high, and it's getting greater every single time, all the time. And man, I felt good, you know, 20 years ago. And I guess the Lord maybe called me to be a preacher and I lead some Bible studies or something like that. We had some amazing times. And let me tell you what, I am really enjoying traveling and preaching. It feels good, man. I love serving the Lord. Absolutely. It feels great. I told my son one time, I said, you know what? I said, because we were talking about, you know, it's difficult sometimes. You know, I got a full-time job. I'm a web developer, you know. That's a field that changes all the time, and you got to kind of study and learn some things and try to keep up with things and how this all works, or you're going to get behind and, you know. So you gotta kinda do this, and then, but yet, here I'm a minister too, and I gotta study the Word, and I gotta learn all of this kind of thing, and you know, you gotta divide your time sometimes. And I said, you know what, but I didn't become, you know, I said, guess why I travel to Norway and preach? Well, it's not because I'm just so great, something or other, like, no, because I've studied, I've put in the time, I've practiced, I've spoken before people. Little by little, pressing in. Why? Why am I doing that? Well, not because I'm something great. No, it's because God put a gift in my life and pretty much can't do anything but, you know. But at the same time, and there's times when, man, I mean, you know, it's like, look, this is the great part. Like evangelists, we live the good life. You know, pastors, God bless you, brother. Burden bearer, you know, got the whole world on his shoulders. I was telling my son the other day, I said, you know what, as a minister, I said, sometimes, you know, when you're doing more of the pastor type stuff and not just traveling the world preaching, but, you know, getting down and having to actually help people and deal with people and not just stir up the church and then light it on fire and leave, you know. Like, people begin to tell you absolutely terrible things that you can tell no one. That ain't easy, man. That's not easy at all. We hear things that are just, wait, what? No. No. That didn't happen. No, that, oh my goodness. Oh goodness. Jesus help me, because I don't even know how to handle hearing about that, let alone these people just went through that. So it's hard. But yet, as you grow, you recognize there's things that are hard. There's also things that are just amazing. Then when you're sitting there and you're making breakthroughs and you're helping someone under Christ, and you're like, God, you did this. You did this. I mean, you needed me to put in the time. You needed me to put in the work. It doesn't just happen, but I put in the work, and suddenly, you know, people from, you know, around the world actually want to hear me speak. That's just weird. I mean, truly. You know, the little guy inside of me that's like, you know, kind of insecure, Trevor, you know, he's like, what? Never thought that would have happened, you know. Hey, why? Because the mark is high.
Right.
We didn't stop. We didn't stop.
Right.
We keep pressing because it's high.
Right.
And so while there's burdens, there's also great, great, great blessings. You know, because somebody's going to come up to me after service and say, I absolutely needed that, Brother Trevor. I've been down and I've been to, you know, and man, I'm going to, you know, and then 2 years later, they're like, Brother Trevor, like, you remember you pressed the mark? I'm like, you remember me preaching? You remember the title? Like, my Jesus, that must have made an impact. You remembered something from 2 years ago? That's crazy, man. And you know how you feel? It feels good. And I love it. I love it. I don't take the glory, but I'm just like, no, but that's okay. I love it. Thank you. That's very encouraging. I appreciate that. I'm glad the Lord used me to help you. There's great joy in that. And the privileges have raised as I've put the responsibility in. And God wants the same for you. He doesn't want you to just sit there and go, well, I'm a message believer now. Yay. There's more. There's more than it. But Brother Trevor, I'm not a preacher. Like, nobody's going to call me from around the world to have me preach. That's fine. God has asked you to do something. We'll talk about that here in a little bit if we don't get till noon. So the problem is what we end up doing is when we begin to feel like we arrived. And you know, sometimes there's an absolute progression. You know, you know, maybe somebody comes into the message and they just begin to go, wow, this is so amazing. There's so much revelation. There's seals, there's churches, ages and thunders and all of these things. And I get to understand and you study and, you know, it's great. And then you get to this, you know, kind of peak to where at some point in time you generally understand the seals and you generally understand the church ages and the trumpets and these things. And you know, yeah, Brother Branham said this and this. And, you know, I get the general picture. I kind of understand. I never did before, but I do now. And it's great. I love it. You know, and that's, you know, and so then you kind of, you know, plateau.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, because, well, some of that newness is worn off. Some of that super revelation that you feel like you never had has kind of, well, I actually got that revelation now. And so, you know, you went from this stage of newness. And the problem is some people can't live without that feeling. And so they got to come up with crazy doctrines so that they can still be super revelated because they just enjoyed that feeling so much. So you can watch out for that. But then some people just kind of plane out and it's like, well, I get it now. Like I'm basically arrived in message understanding. And so, what do I do now? Well, now that God has given you the tools that you need, why don't you do something with them? That's what it is. But the problem is that we begin, amen. Problem is that we begin to look around and we begin to see what the message culture around us is doing. And because, you know, well, maybe I don't really want to keep pressing because maybe that responsibility doesn't sound so great and I don't really want to do that. And I'm not truly convinced that when I put in all this effort that there's really going to be that much joy coming back. So I'm just going to kind of sit here and I'm going to look, but I still feel like I need to do something. Because I need to feel good for Christ. And so what we begin to do is say, well, me and my message culture and this little church and the few churches that we agree with, you know, we kind of all get it, but you know, there's some people that understand things differently than we do. And so, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to have to do something about them. Because that's way more convenient than doing something about you. I mean, you know what I'm learning? People don't want character. Character's a victory, not a gift. You're going to have to go through a little suffering to get character. People do not want it. They want Jesus. Like, look, Lord, I'm praying. You just come fix this because I don't want to have to go through this situation and have character on the other end of it. You just fix it. Supernaturally, Lord, because I ain't going through that. And see, the process of character development, the process of you pressing on into Christ, it's not always easy. It's not always fun. And so it would be so much easier if we can recognize that I've attained, but I see those other people over there. They haven't attained. And if Jesus is going to use me, he's going to use me to help get them in. Because their message is E-ness isn't message-y-ness enough. We are righter message than they are. And so we must be used by God. And so, you know, I preached this sermon, and this was a perfect story because this literally happened just before I preached the sermon. It's like, I love it when God gives me a story on Saturday to use in the sermon on Sunday. That's great. And so we were in South Carolina. We were at this brother's house. He lives out in the country. He's got this, I think it's a blue heeler. It's a sheepdog, kind of a dog. And they're all laughing and everything. And they're like, oh, I bet you he's going to get Brother Trevor today. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's like, well, that dog, you know, he's a sheepdog. What does a sheepdog do? They nip. They nip at the heels to keep the sheep together. That's what their instinct is. It's what they're trained to do. And so apparently this dog, though, he's just, you know, they said, you know, he can be just out in the yard. He can be 100 yards away. And you think, man, there's no way. And you go up the steps and you turn to walk in the door and that dog will come out of nowhere and get you in the heel before you get in the door. And I was like, I don't know what we're going to do here. Because it would be a shame to have to kill a brother's dog before you preach to him the day before, you know, the next day. Like this, I just don't know how that would work. But if that dog nips me, that will be his last nip. Like I better not feel it. So then they're like, well, we should go on a walk. It's a beautiful day. Let's go on a walk down the country road. Okay, let's go on a walk. That sounds nice. The dog came. Right. Like, what are you doing? Like, is there a chain? Like, you know, the dog wasn't leashed. You know, we're in the country. It just, no. And so, you know, we're like, what are we going to do? This dog is, you know, I mean, and guess what the dog is doing? He's like, what is he? He's looking for, you know, and I said, look, sweetie, kids, stay in the middle. So that dog's looking for outliers. He is trained to keep people in a group. So don't get out of the group and we won't get nipped by this dog and all will be well. And even though we were in the group, but we're still watching as we're walking down the road. I'm watching you. It's the most uncomfortable walk down a country road I have ever had in my entire life. But I realized something. We're message sheepdogs sometimes. We're message sheepdogs. We're like, no, you're not in the right tier. You gotta, you know, we nippy, nippy, nip, try to get you over in our church, or nippy, nippy, nip, try to get you over in our understanding. And, you know, we want other message people to be in our message understanding and rightness and things like that. And, you know, none of us can actually think, well, praise God, you know, hey, maybe I'm the one that's wrong. We don't do that well. You know what I tell brothers, usually as brothers, that, you know, when we're disagreeing, I say, well, there's one of three possibilities here. And I always start with this one because that, you know, they always agree with it first. And it's always nice to start with something somebody can agree with. And I say, look, we have one of three possibilities. I'm wrong. You're wrong. We're both wrong. It's just logic. It's okay. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm trying to get people. Did I lose something? There we go. Maybe I'm trying to get people and I'm trying to be a message sheepdog, but I'm wrong. Man, that's a problem. And that's not what God is asking us to do. It's like, oh, you feel like you've attained? Go get other people in to get the same level of your attainment. No, the problem isn't whether you've attained or not. The problem is you set the mark low. And so you're like, well, now that I'm here, I have nothing else to do. So I'm going to go meddle in other people's lives and try to get them into the same low mark that I got to. No, why don't we set the mark a lot higher? Why don't we set the mark a lot higher? Here, let me read you this quote, because I love this quote. This is great. This is just great. Because it makes no sense. Like it does, but it at first when you read it, I'm like, no, this isn't. There can't be this way. Brother Branham says, in the sudden secret going of the way of the church, it's not up to the Branham Tabernacle, neither it is up to any other church. It's up to you as an individual to be ready at the coming of the Lord. You must be ready. I must be ready. I'll sweep my own steps. It's up to you to sweep your steps. Leave mine alone. Me leave yours alone. You've got to make your garment ready. You say, Brother Trevor, why doesn't that make sense? Well, does that... Yeah, go to the next one there. Yeah. How about that attitude? I'll sweep my own steps. It's up to you to sweep your own steps. Leave mine alone. I'll leave yours alone. Shoot. Mind your own business. No, get out of my business. I'll get out of, like, that's Christian, right? I mean, that's what we do as Christians. We stay out of each other's business and, you know, we just say, look, get your steps ready because I'm over here getting rid of, taking care of mine. And that doesn't sound caring. That doesn't sound loving. That doesn't sound like, how does that work? Because the problem is you set the mark low and you begin to meddle over there. And your steps ain't clean. Cause the mark that you set was so low that it doesn't matter whether your steps were clean or not. So let's talk about sweeping your steps. What happens when you begin to sweep your steps? And if we're concerned about others, what we really ought to do is start working on me. Amen. Because here's what happens. You know, you start sweeping your steps. You know, you get out and you're like, well, man, the steps are dirty. Maybe I should clean them. And you start sweeping your steps. And it's dangerous to start sweeping your steps. We'll talk about why that is later. But you start sweeping your steps and, you know, maybe you get the DVDs out of the door. And you get the CDs you shouldn't have. MP3s, sorry. Let me update it to 2021. And you get, you know, or maybe you get the right, you know, playlists on Spotify. Here we go. Now we're in 2021. And or Pandora, whichever. I don't know. Am I missing any? Okay, we continue on. And you start sweeping the things, you know, in just down the outside in your life, you know. Maybe you get rid of, sorry, I said DVDs, forgive me. Maybe you get rid of your Netflix account, you know, or, you know, or you get a filter for your Disney Plus. I don't know. Or, you know, maybe everybody got that step clean already. Good. I love that. So great. Or not. Okay, so you start sweeping the steps and there's things that you just shouldn't have, you know, and maybe, you know, maybe you get rid of the scissors and maybe you get rid of the, you know, the tight this and the tight that and, you know, you get the, them little skin down wiener skirts out. Whoopity whoopity whoopity, sweepy the steps, sweepy the steps, sweepy the step. Man, we meddling today. Okay, sweep the steps. And you get that first step clean and you go, my, that looks like a nice step. Well, there's probably three or four more.
Yeah.
Don't stop there. But I got all the, like, the stuff, like, man, the stuff that you evangelists come and preach about and tell us to get rid of, like Netflix, like, you know, I got rid of it, okay? What do you want me to do?
Come on.
I did the thing. I'm good now, right? Because I've conformed to what you said I should be doing to be a good message believer. I have attained the mark. No. Why don't you step, look, the mud comes from the ground up. Like, the outside, that first step, you know, that's just the physical manifestation of the dirt. So why don't we step down into your heart just a little bit and start thinking about, why was it that the preacher even had to tell me I should get rid of some of this stuff? Well, maybe it's because the condition of my heart isn't right. Maybe it's because I desire some of those things and I gotta really get down and, man, that second step, it's a doozy. Like, that's that. That's a real, sometimes, you know, the stringer isn't right and that last step is a real big one, you know, and so you really fall down that one and you get there and you're like, wow, this is crazy and I'm sweeping this step and I'm actually getting my heart right and people don't like to do that because that's, well, it's hard. It don't feel good. It's not fun. Well, till it's over and then you go, man, I cannot believe. And how many would testify and say, you know, there's things that God has brought me out of that 5 years ago I thought I'd never get out of that. But now you're out of that and you look at it back there in 5 years ago and you go, what on earth? I cannot believe I ever struggled with that. How did I ever think that was okay? Come on, somebody. So then what are the things that you're dealing with today that the preachers are like, yeah, you should get rid of this. And you're like, man, but I don't know. Like, I like that thing. Think about that thing that you got rid of 5 years ago that you're thinking that was stupid. How could I ever do it? Maybe that'll help you. Because there's probably more of that. And then 5 years from now, you'll be like, well, he was right. I'm so glad I got rid of that. Like, I bet everybody thought I was a heathen. Well, we knew that there was grace because we were heathens too. All right. Praise God. We love each other. Okay. So you get down on that next step. You start sweeping. And then, man, this, guess what? There's two more steps, and you keep dropping down and getting down closer to the heart. Closer to that's when it really gets easy. I mean, not easy, but really, really hard, because guess what? There's more dirt down there because you're, you know, you're closer to the dirt, the ground. And that's when, you know, somebody steps right there, gets all the mud. The first step gets most of it. Second step gets a little bit less. Third step, fourth step. Right? So it's easier to clean the top steps. And then as you get down into the heart, it's harder to get those steps clean. And, you know, maybe you got to get a little shovel, flat, scrape that just a little bit and then get it nice and clean. And you finally get your clean steps, you know, instead of worrying about, you know, your neighbor's steps, you just actually start worrying about your steps. And you think, well, isn't that selfish? No, because here's the hard part. Here's what's going to happen next. Somebody's going to see your steps. And you'll be like, but I just cleaned them. Isn't that a good thing? Well, maybe. Depends on who it is saw your steps. Because they're going to have one of two reactions. The first reaction is, who do you think you are? Yeah. You think your steps are cleaner than mine? And you're like, I took a broom and I swept my steps. This had nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Or they look at your steps and go, look at your steps. Look at my steps.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, okay, how's this going to go?
Yeah.
And they go, my steps are dirty because I see your steps. And when I look at your steps, I recognize my, like, I want steps like yours. How'd you do that? You say, well, I took a broom and I began to sweep. You see, when you begin to sweep your steps and you begin to really live your life, others are going to notice. It's going to make a reaction in others. You want to help others? Sweep your steps. You want to impact this world? Sweep your steps. Start here, and then when you start here, maybe that's going to impact others by just they're going to observe it. They're going to see, hey, you set an example of clean steps, and I recognize I got a little bit of work to do. So I don't have to go next door and say, Brother Louise, look at them steps, man. Whew. You know, you got somebody to shine my shoes after I walk into your house? Goodness sakes, brother. Why don't you get with the program and become a message believer? Come on now, somebody. You don't message like I do. Why don't you clean your steps? Why don't you set the mark high and start pressing? And people are either going to love you or hate you, one of the two, but man, you're going to have an impact on this world.
Amen.
So you think me sweeping my steps and me leaving your steps alone? Like, yeah, that's actually helping others. That's not being selfish. It's not being, well, he's got a bad attitude. He won't help anybody else with their steps. Yes, he will by exposing. And not for the purpose of exposing, but just because my steps ought to be clean. Because that's pleasing to Christ. So God begins to use you just as you begin to serve Him and to grow in Him and to be what He's calling you to be, because it's a high calling that Paul hadn't even apprehended, and you begin to attain and apprehend. People begin to be inspired and go, my goodness, look what this guy's doing. Look at what this girl's doing. That's something that I ought to attain to. And it makes an impact on the world. So when Zach cleans his steps, everybody else is like, yeah, I might not wear Johnston Murphy's. He might not either. I'm not sure, but I want to be like Zach because his steps are so clean. So, you know, another problem that we have, though, is, and 11:30, I might even try to clean. No, probably not. But anyway, I'll try to close here in 15, 20 minutes. All right. So, but another problem that we have here is we tend to group so much. But God isn't calling a group to press the mark. He's calling Zach to press the mark. He's calling Bob to press the mark. He's calling Esther to press the mark. He's calling you. He's calling you to press the mark. Not this church, not a group. He's calling you as an individual to sweep your steps, to press to the mark of the high calling, that high calling for you. The problem is that there's a quote. We should read that quote first. Where's that one? Is your life worthy of the gospel? Brother Branham says, a Christian is not a tool or some kind of a mechanical wrench to a great big religious regime. That's right. A Christian, he's not a tool that keeps a religious organization moving. A Christian, that's not a Christian. A Christian's to be Christ-like. And a Christian cannot be a Christian until Christ comes into that man, that life of Christ in him. Then it produces the life that Christ did, and you do the things that Christ did. You're not a tool. You didn't come into this church and just, like, look, you know what? If Zach is a wrench, and we lose Zach, we just get a new wrench. No big deal. They make, you know what? They make wrench, they stamp them. It's the same thing. A wrench is a wrench is a wrench is a wrench. You aren't a tool. Zach, you're not a wrench, man. He's unique. You're unique. God wants to use you in your uniqueness. So when, you know, cause otherwise what we do, we invite people to the MWTI. Anybody ever went there? MWTI, Message Witnessing Training Institute? You didn't?
No.
Y'all didn't go there?
Nope.
Well, that's where you learn how to tell people how Brother Branham was a prophet.
Yeah. Okay.
How else are you going to witness if you haven't learned at the MWTI?
Yeah.
You see, you need to send all your young people to the MWTI, yeah. Brother. Do you know who teaches at the MWTI? That'd be me.
Yeah.
And guess what? I got a great way for you. Look, if you don't know how to tell people why we believe Brother Branham's a prophet straight out of the Bible, like, look, come to the MWTI. I'll tell you how to show people. Guess which way I'll tell you? The way I do it. Why will I tell you the way I do it? Because I think it's best. It might be. But it's maybe that's the way it's best for me. But I don't know if maybe it's not the way you should do it. Maybe there's a different way. Maybe God is just calling you to live in a way. Now, I'm not like, look, just a little caveat here. Like we listen to the Brother Branham talk about God's billboards and sometimes we think what our witnessing is when our sisters go to the grocery store. Like that's a problem, church. That's just kind of a problem. It's like, well, I witness because I wear my skirt to the grocery store. Okay, good. But there's probably more that God is calling you to do. There's probably more. Like, so let's not just take that cheap way out. Like, go and be God's billboard at the grocery store, but God probably wants more. Don't worry, that's a good thing. It'll be great. So if you all come to the MWTI and you learn from me, here's how you witness to people, here's how you get them in a message, here's the scriptures you use, and here's, you know, you use this one first and then this one, and then you ask them this question, and then you do this, and then you say this, and then you show them this, and you go through, you know, all the way to Revelation 3:14 and seventh messenger, and then you say, well, now flip over to Revelation 10, and it's just like in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, see, first one, second one, third, like, it's cool, like, that works, like, people get it, like, and everybody just does that, you know, and then Zach learns it, and Esther learns it. Rachel learns it. We begin to see the same people at the grocery store. And people begin to be like, oh, there's another one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it. Seventh angel, right? Yeah, I guess I've seen you. Yeah. Well, you've never met me before. Yeah, I know, but your carbon copy was here last week.
Yeah.
Because if we all become the same, then we're just some tool.
Yeah.
And we're replaceable. God doesn't do that.
Right.
You're not just a tool.
Right.
You're not replaceable. Because God made you the way He made you. So doesn't that bring some joy too? Doesn't that bring some like, yeah, God wants me. And He's not just saying me because like I'm a Christian, I'm sitting here, so who else is going to be? No, He wants you as an individual. He loves you. He desires you. He gifted you. He put something in your life that we need because we need one another. Maybe you're an encourager. Maybe you're a prayer. Maybe you're a witness or maybe you're an evangelist or you're a teacher. Or you're this, you're that. I don't know what it is. Maybe you pray for your husband as you do laundry. Well, praise God, pray over that laundry. Whatever it is that God has called you and gifted you into doing, it's important. And He uniquely qualified you to do it in your specific way. Let's look at this other quote. Brother Branham talking about, you know, how they put the stones together in the temple, you know, and he said, identified masterpiece of God. We're always going to be that way. God is not a Sears and Roebuck Harmony House. He's a God of variety. He makes one way, and one another. But we must serve him in the way that God made us and be glad and stay behind the word. That's the way God did it. And he starts to talk about, out of Return and Jubilee, he starts to talk about how they made the temple and how they cut the stones outside the temple and then brought them in and fit the stones together. And sometimes, you know, they begin to do the Tetris of all the stones. And then there was a, you know, there was like one of the stones was a little late coming. So they got all this fit together and it's like, well, here's this odd shape here. It's like, we got something that's got to fit that or we won't be complete. And maybe these guys out here, they're cutting a stone and they're like looking at this stone going, that is the weirdest looking stone I've ever cut. Like, look at how many directions that turns and moves and goes up and down. It's got these little notches in it and things like that. That's the weirdest looking stone ever. And then, but then that stone comes and it fits just right in that slot. Brother Branham says, I think God down through this time has cut out some very odd stones that we might not have understood, but they have their place exactly in the temple, in the building of God. You've got your place and only you are going to fit that place. So what are we saying? Saying that the mark is high, but the mark requires you to press, and you will press if you if you set the mark higher than just a church, you know, MWTI tool. Well, you set that mark a little higher. You recognize God wants me to be good at something. God has a purpose for me. God has a plan for me. You stand up a little straighter. You square your shoulders back and you recognize that God, not only does he love me, not only does he die for me because he died for everybody, but no, we're talking about me here. This suddenly became personal, that God loves me, that God wants to use me, that God gifted and called me. And you begin to stand and you begin to have purpose. And then when you begin to have purpose, you walk through the church doors. It's like, I am here. And people will start thinking, like, this brother's got a pride complex. No, this brother feel good. Let's worship God here, church. That's what we came to do. And I'm part of that plan. I'm a stone in that wall. I'm part of the foundation. I'm one of the pillars. I help hold this thing up. Let's do this, church. Yeah. That feels good. That's the way you come into church. Not, well, here we go. Got my coffee at Racetrack. Get me. Hopefully I can. I got a double this morning, though, because my goodness. Heard Brother Wade was preaching. Wait, I said I wasn't going to pick on him. I'm going to hear that one later. And we walk into church because we have no purpose, because we don't have the mark high enough. We walk into the grocery store and we're like, well, yeah, I don't know. I'm a Christian, but because we have no purpose, because we haven't set the mark high enough. The problem is not with your pressing hard enough. The problem is not with you just need to be better. You just need to do harder. Come on, church. Let's go. Why don't you actually give God some, you know, work it up and emotion and let's get to it and let's just dig down a little deeper. He's coming soon. So now it's the gun lap. Let's press on. Like now we put the afterburners on and you say, Brother Trevor, okay, that's great. But Monday I forgot because I didn't feel that. I mean, maybe I did for the 5 minutes we worshiped after service, but then it got over and I started thinking about the basketball game and I forgot all about it. And it don't work. And after we do that about 30 times over 5 years, we start losing the steam. Felt good while we were in the presence, but then we left. Why? Because you didn't set the mark higher. You got enthused and you got excited and that was wonderful and we need those times, but man, you got to recognize who you are. That's what Brother Branham said teaching is for. Teaching puts you in the right place, shows you who you are and where you are and, you know, where you fit so that you can actually do something in this world. Yeah, God wants you to set the mark high. To give everything that you have. But God's not asking you, I'm not asking you to give everything you have for the sake of giving everything you have because that's what's right. Do it because that's what God says. Figure it out. Do better. Try harder. No. No. Step back for a moment. Get down in prayer and recognize He's worth everything. When you can begin to look at him and meditate on him, you know, we don't meditate anymore. Just like we were talking, you know, God doesn't change and we think we don't meditate anymore because man, meditating is like sitting there, you know, I'm not talking about oriental meditation. I'm just talking about meditating on Scripture, meditating on who Jesus Christ is. Stopping for a moment, considering, slowing down. The devil wants to speed things up, and he wants to change things like crazy, keep you moving. Like, whoa, I haven't looked at my phone in 2 minutes. I bet somebody has posted something. And I bet it's super important. I need to spend time with God. Because if I spend time with God, I begin to recognize that mark, that's way up there. And I want it. And then a preacher doesn't have to come in here and tell you to press. Because there's something inside of you going, there's more for me. And it's awesome. So be awesome. Be awesome for Him. He wants you. He desires you. Not saying, what's the name of this church? Spoken Word Church. I didn't say He wants Spoken Word Church. I said He wants you. What's your name? He wants you. Sweep your steps. Prepare yourself. Begin to find that mark that's Him. Press towards it. If you truly find it, you won't have to try to press. How can you fail to press to the compelling awesomeness that He is? That's who He is. That's who He is. You know, I had a time in my life where, you know, I was a good church kid. You know, I grew up in this message and such from the time I was about 8. But I started going to these youth camps, you know, down in Alabama. While I was in Alabama, I heard Brother Ron Spencer, he started reading quotes like, out of stature of a perfect man, a body hast thou prepared me. A body that God can dwell in. God can walk in, God can see in, God can talk in, God can work in. Amen. Living instrumentality of God. God walking on 2 feet in you. God just might be wearing Johnston Murphy's this morning. Or Clark's. I don't know. But you look down at your feet and you say, there's God walking in those feet. You know, I had this job and it was a terrible job, but, you know, I'd go to the break room and this quote would be ringing in my ears. I'd be like, well, God walk into the break room. Go eat a sandwich. God sitting in the break room eating a sandwich. God walking back to my desk. Who does his brother think he is? A son of God? That's who I think I am. That's who I know I am. This quote, man, it started beginning to ring in my ears. I thought, man, God wants to walk in my feet. Mine. That's crazy talk. Why would he do that? Because he desires me. I don't know why he does. But he does. And I'm so glad he does. He begins to read them. We know this quote. Unto the last day, there is again another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. I started warming up my voice. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Let's warm this puppy up. God wants to use my voice. Are you kidding me right now? I'm 18, 19 years old sitting there in this youth camp going, I never heard something like this. Wait a second. Like, I heard what I was supposed to do. I heard the doctrines. I heard how this was all going to work out and how the coming of the Lord and the how many years and this, all these things. And that's great. I love those things. Man, I can geek out on those things. You know, theological geeks. That's okay. You know, anyway, look, I love that just as much as the next guy. But wasn't when I was 19, I didn't need to be told God wanted to use me. God had a purpose for me. It wasn't just about dates and times and theology, but there was a reality that this message was that could come on the inside and not just seal me to take me to heaven, but to put me in action into service, that there was something that God wanted for me. And I loved that, man. I said, all right, I get it now. I know why I'm learning this now. Because it tells me who God is and so many wonderful things, and then I'm going to use that for Him. Right, right. Great. Yeah, right, man. Oh man, I loved it. These last days, the true bride church comes to the headstone. She'll be the super church, a super race as she nears a great headstone. Man, that's cool. They will be so much like him. They will be even in his very image. Me? I'm from Minnesota. I started working at that airport. People be like, you're not from here, are you? Yeah, no, sir. I'm up there around Minneapolis. Yeah. It's a little colder up there. Yeah. He wants to use my voice. That's weird. But he does. But he does. So when a spirit born, you know this one. You could all just quote it with me. Spirit filled man takes that word into his heart, places it upon his lips. That's the same as deity speaking. And you know what I said? Sign me up, God. Sign me up. Because I want to be part of that. See, the mark got set higher. When that mark got set higher and I caught a vision that there was more than just me understanding stuff and that was message, but that there was a purpose in all of it. I mean, I didn't have a problem just sitting there and doing the thing. And the problem is when we sit there doing the thing and we get a little bored, well, then we start getting a little lax and we let things we shouldn't into our lives. But when we really catch a vision that God wants me and he wants to use me, man, it makes you stand up straight, makes you go, yay, I'm so glad to be a part of this. I'm filled with joy and purpose and all right, here we go. Let's do this. Nobody had to tell me to press anymore. I did it because I caught that vision. I trust you will too. From beyond the curtain of time, musicians, you can come. I love this because it's just so poetic and beautiful. Each one of us play a part in this picture and in this song. We are parts of the kingdom of God, and that is, we can play our parts as long as we realize where we are positionally, belong in this place, and then stay right there in that place. And one place we know, it's in love, because that's what makes up the picture. You have your place. You have your part in this song and in this picture. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than what we believed, than when we believed. It's time, church. It's time to see where the mark is. If you've been asleep, meditate on God. Get that mark a little higher. That'll set you up. Good. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. You're so good to us. Lord, we want to serve you from the depths of our heart. Lord, we're sitting in this church because we love you, because we've been trained, we've been taught, we've been convinced of the realities of God. But Father, sometimes we drift off to sleep a little bit. Sometimes we think we've arrived and we don't recognize how great and wonderful. And Lord, we just, our eyes maybe get filmed over. I don't know what it is. Lord, I'm not going to stand here and make excuses. Lord, all I want to say is, Lord, I pray that you would catch a vision or put a vision in each one of our hearts that you want to use us, that each one of us you've uniquely gifted and called and qualified and desired, Lord Jesus, to become something great. What a privilege that is. Lord, I just pray that in the heart of every believer here that's heard this morning, that there would be a cry that says, God, sign me up. Let me be a part of that. Let me have the vision, the mark high. Let me hit the mark that I could become a good archer, a good Christian, a solid son or daughter of the living God. Father, what a calling you've given us. We're so thankful. Father, we're just awed. I'm a nobody, God. And I look back and I see the testimony of how you brought me to this place, Father. It's just grace. Father, I can't even process it if I try. So all I'll say is thank you. And I love you for it. Here am I. Send me, Lord. Okay. Lord, can I be a part of doing that for someone else? Can I be a part of your grace to call someone else out of who am I? But thank you, God. Like, Lord, yes. Can we rescue everyone, Lord? If that's what you want, Lord, then that's what I want. Father, show each of us what that, give us each a glimpse of what that should be for our lives, Lord. For Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I guess we probably know that song, In Jesus' Name. We press on. In Jesus' name. I have no idea what key that would be. We press on. In Jesus' name. We press on. Dear Lord, with the prize. What's the prize? Jesus Christ. Clear before our eyes. We find the strength to press on. Just sing that again. Oh, in Jesus' name, we press on. Press on, dear Lord, with the prize, oh, clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on.
One more time.
Now come and reap the benefit of that. Come and take your part. My brother done a marvelous job, so now just take your part. Amen. Enjoy the message. Let's give our brother a good hand. Enjoyed it. Appreciate it. Right down the line. Good message. You know, looking forward to this afternoon. We're going to come right back and get started right back again. I love the services, you know, to where that you can just flow from one to the other and just keep right on going. Because it's all on that. But you make sure you tell our brother how much you appreciate him. Because we appreciate him coming. Appreciate his family coming and being with us. We're glad for them to come. We appreciate that. They said we had a visitor back in the back. So we do. Then we just say to you, welcome. And you're always that way. And then you come this afternoon, you're not a visitor. You're just part of us. So that's the way we always believe here and we keep it in that line. Okay? All right. Let's just pray and be dismissed. Go eat a bite and come back this afternoon. But make sure you tell our brother because he poured out his heart for us to be able to receive what we need to press on. To press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. See, I don't believe Paul reached where Brother Branham did. I don't, you know, I don't believe Paul reached where Brother Branham did because it's not in the scriptural line. Brother Branham was the major prophet, see. Not if Paul was so little, no, uh-uh. He didn't reach that. And see, but Brother Branham kept pressing. He just kept pressing on. He went through all of the years and then here it opened this way and opened that way. He just kept pressing on. So that's our part, right? Amen. Father, we thank you for the message that we've heard today and we cherish it. We believe it. We thank you. Thank you for our brother to bring it unto us. And Lord, reminding us of all of these things of where we should be in this day and the hour that we're living. because all the things are coming up on the earth. But yet we are the bride of Jesus Christ, and we are you, Lord, chose us to be here in the end time. So now just make a way to give our brother a rest to where that he can be rested and everything, and then come forth this afternoon and speak the word of the Lord unto us. We love you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed, amen.
I appreciate you, Heavenly Father. I appreciate you.